John chapter 12, and we'll start reading verse number 26. And cover your prayers as I go through this. And the Lord just had one of those kind of things. The Lord really burdened my heart with a verse, and I have some points here, but we'll see how it all works out. Amen. But God is just amazing. Been a great week, like I said, serving Him, and there's no one like our Savior. And He's just he gets better all the time. Amen. He doesn't get better. I guess I should say my perception of Him gets better all the time, because He doesn't change. Amen. He's Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God for that. Can you imagine just being so good you don't need to get better? That's Jesus, amen. But in John chapter 12, man, that's amazing. Amen. In John chapter 12, beginning verse number 26, you'll notice that the word of God, that it does say this: "If any man serve me, let him follow me." Excuse me. "And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." There's a message right there. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the princes of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, "He hath blinded their heart," pardon me, "he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Now, verse 47 is the verse that really burned in my heart throughout the entire week. Jesus makes a very powerful statement, which is like everything that Jesus said, it's powerful. He says, "If any man hear not my words and believe not," he said, I judge him not, or in the context here, he said, "I don't condemn them." He said, because the reason that I have manifested myself in the earth, the reason that I've made myself known unto man, the reason that I've taught all these truths, the reason that I've stepped down, robed myself in flesh, and come in the form of a form a little lower than the angels, is not to judge, but I came to save the world. And so we're going to work back through the passage. I'm going to call this "Following the Purpose of Jesus Christ." Because we see from this verse here the purpose of Jesus Christ. And we're going to back up and look at some things about actually following in that purpose. And may God give us the strength and grace to embrace fully why Jesus came and accept, as we are followers of him, to take upon that same purpose that he had and to see our world in a different way and to realize what our existence here really is all about. So, Heavenly Father, we ask for help today because, Lord, what needs to be accomplished through this message? I can't do it. I cannot even come close to even approaching what needs to be done. So, Father, I ask that you take this frail servant of yours. Lord, make me empty enough so you can fill me and so that what comes out will be exactly what you need. And, oh, my Father, have mercy in such a way that when it does come out, it will be received with faith and gladness. And I ask this in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Now, back up to verse number 26, if we think about that purpose, go ahead and shut that door, somebody. Just so you know, if you do need to leave, go out for a second, you can go out from this back here and come back in. They're having some type of class next door, and just to free from distraction, we'll shut this door here. So there's a door. You can go out right there and then come back in if you need to exit to refresh yourself or some type of way. Now, in verse number 26, we see the introduction of these statements here. And Jesus says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And that's where I draw the connection between following in this purpose of Christ. And I guess if you're taking notes either mentally or physically, the first thing I would like to draw your attention to is the agony of following Christ's purpose. The agony of following Christ's purpose. Because we see here, Jesus actually says in verse 27, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say, Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Now Jesus, he knew his purpose from the beginning of time. But now he's in the earth. It's not that he does not want to do the Father's will, but there still is an agony attached to him following the purpose that he manifested himself in this life for. And so many things you could probably think and apply yourself, but I thought to myself that part of his agony is that that which is life itself is going to taste death for the very first time. And you know the reality, and anybody saved today and happy about it? Amen. So, you know, there's liberty in that salvation, and there's a freedom in that salvation. There's a joy in that salvation, and you know what the reality is? When you finally get that liberty, and you're, wow, I'm forgiven. I'm a child of God now. My life has been rescued, and I'm no longer in bondage anymore. There's this liberty that allows you to go, and man, you just feel like you can do anything, and really, in many ways, you can because you're free in a way. Just like I mentioned, different things that God even has done in my own life, the jobs and situations that he took me into, situations that were beyond my abilities and beyond my strength and beyond even the power of my resume. And that's what God does. But here's the reality of that. You know, for me to really fully walk in the purpose of Christ, I've got to lay that down. I've got to let that die. And you know, there's kind of an agony. You know, it's funny, new converts often sometimes have a greater time serving the Lord than, I would say, older converts. Because what happens is, an older convert has been saved. They began to experience God's blessing and adding to their life. But there's a daily death required to walk in the purpose of Christ. And as we think about that, and as we truly try to fully embrace that purpose that Jesus Christ has for our lives, it's with great difficulty that we say, now, how in the world do I accomplish this? And that kind of brings agony, because I finally got this life. I found, like, I think of Gordon Silcox. He's no longer, but when he was 80, after many years of serving God, God calls me to go out and start a church. I know the pastor that used to be in Kitchener Baptist Church, and the Lord worked in him, used him in a great way. Church, I think, was almost 200 people. And then God called him to go down somewhere in Louisiana to 12 people with the church in lots of debt, lots of problems, you know. And I mean, he had a pretty secure life. Everything was going the way he wanted. And God said, no, you got to lay that down. You know, I can only imagine there was some type of agony going on, that this life that you finally given me, this existence has been laid down, but the purpose is great. Because God, Jesus, did not come to the world to judge the world, but to save the world. See, this is The purpose that we have in Christ is so much further beyond just becoming faithful church attendees. This is really a life and death operation. And we want to really, and we should embrace that with joy. And man, you mean I can really be used of God? That someone could have eternal life? And if you're in the room today, the answer is 100% yes. And not just yes, but yes. And if you want to go southern, yes. But secondly, what you notice, here's the answer of those who refuse to follow Christ. In verse number 34, we see, let me read all the verses. We read them already, but it said, the people, therefore, I'm picking them in verse 29, that stood by and heard it and said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. I like the sound of that. You know, the devil is the prince and power of this world. He's going to be cast out. And he says, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. This, he says, signifying what death he would die. When the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? You know, and now here's Jesus. He's going in the agony of his soul. He's talked to his Father. It's the Lord. He said, Father, glorify thy name. Jesus is looking to God and said, and Jesus is God, you understand, as a fleshly man at this time, but God in the same. He says, Father, I'm here for you to glorify your name. He said, I've glorified it. I'm going to glorify it again. You know, as we embrace that opportunity to be used, that the world through us might be saved, it's a look up to heaven and it says, Father, glorify thy name. And he'll do that through you and through that death. But I wrote down here about this answer that they gave because, see, they could not embrace this purpose. Now keep this in mind. They're talking to the living Word, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They're talking to the living God, and they're talking about Scripture to the one that is the Word itself, as if the Word itself does not know what the Word is. And here's the tragedy when we refuse to follow Christ. It says they gave an answer to God about His Word without really knowing who God was. You know, and isn't that the reality of any of our struggles in faith? You know, if God gives us directly from the Scripture, and we begin to give an answer, well, the Scripture says this. But anybody been saved long enough to know when you know God told you something? I mean, I'm not telling when the preacher said, but when you've been alone in a prayer closet, or sometimes something hits your mind and you know it was God. Isn't it amazing what happens sometimes after that? Well, but the Word God says over here. How you can use the Word of God to contradict something that you know that God personally spoke to you about. And I'm not talking about anything confusing. I'm talking about there's time. If you're born again, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. There are certain times in your life where you know that God said that. And you're thinking, do I really have to do that? But if I do that, they'll take advantage of me. Well, the Scripture says over here, you know, over here. And you can use the Bible to talk yourself out of what God wants you to do. But in those times when it happens, it's us answering to God without really knowing who God really is. I mean, the longer I serve the Lord, I found out so little. Like right now, after being saved 20-something years, I realized how little I knew about God when I first got saved. In fact, today, I realized how little I knew about God last year. And thank God for just that. He's just that awesome and vast. But they give an answer here because here Jesus, if we didn't read this verse, but if you back up just a couple verses, he tells us in verse 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now he's given to be glorified. He's going to be glorified through his agony and death on the cross. And he's trying to prepare them to teach them what his life is really all about. And he's telling them, and they cannot even grasp the magnitude of who he is. And you know, I just wonder about those disciples. You know, I think about when he presented themselves on the Emmaus Road and they realized that they were talking with him and Jesus asked them, why are you communicating and you're sad, you know? And they're like, where have you, basically, I'm paraphrasing, where have you been? You know, He died. Jesus died. And we thought this is the third day. We thought he would rise from the dead, and like the grave is empty. You know, I mean, we're reading through the eyes of salvation, and like, well, what are you missing? You know, can you imagine? And they even said, "Oh, how their heart did burn within them. They were in the presence of God that had resurrected from the dead, and they did not even know it was him. If they had have known it was him, their communications at that time would not have been sad, would not have been hopeless." And much of our communication that we have in this world right now is based on the reality that we just don't know God like we think we do. And we don't know God as he really is, or when he would speak and he would say something, we would reckon, wow, that's going to happen. Like when the voice that thundered that came for the namesake, they totally missed it. But in verse 34 again, and they gave an answer. The people answered, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever." You may imagine talking to God. You know, sometimes I get under the conviction when I'm praying. You know, I mean, I believe in praying by the authority of the Word. But sometimes I'm praying almost as if trying to remind God what He said. You know, and the Bible says He knows we have need of even before we ask. You know, I mean, I do need to know why I'm coming to Him and have faith in the why. I believe that He can answer me. And that's the power of having the Word when you pray. Because many times I'm reading my Bible, it turns into a prayer meeting. Because I'm reading the Bible and God shows me something, and I didn't hit my knees and begin to pray, and God burdened my heart somewhere, and then I'm sitting in the coffee shop this morning. I'm reading the Word of God, and I just start crying and start praying for people, you know, and because that's the power of the Word of God, you know, but they give this answer to God as if, well, Lord, we heard what we know what the law says, and you know, thank you, Lord. Going further. Now, in this following, here's the actual opportunity to follow Christ. We're looking at the verse in verse 35. "Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while, the light is with you." So I want you to make note about this opportunity to follow Christ. It's temporary. You know, we don't have an eternal opportunity to follow Christ. This breath you have, the breath that you have that God gave you, and the next one, and the next one, and the ones you'll keep having until this message is over, unless I really go a really long time. Those breath God gave you is your opportunity to serve, to follow Christ, and it's temporary. You know, but we live so much like we have tomorrow. And, you know, this, you know, today, there's going to be people in your path today will be the only day that you might be able to show Jesus Christ to. You might not ever get a second chance. I'm not saying you'll die tomorrow, but, I mean, just by the way, they may die tomorrow. And you may move tomorrow. Something may happen. They may move tomorrow. Anything could happen. But he says, yet a little while, the light is with you. Walk, because again, the context, he said, if any man follow me, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And the light, you got to walk, follow the light while it's here. Walk while ye have the light. While you have a Bible. While you have the light of life to do something for Jesus Christ. This temporary opportunity, you need to take full advantage of it. And he says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You know, one of the kind of truths like this are quite humbling for me, because there's been different times in my life. I have no idea where I'm going. I'm not talking about heaven. The Lord, what's next? And I've asked myself, am I really walking in the light? Or am I just walking in a routine? Am I just walking in a routine? Sometimes it's just me wanting to know the future, like I've shared with you before. Sometimes we feel like we have no direction, and we really actually have direction. But we want to know how our direction is going to unfold for our future, rather than just say, hey, I have this day. I'm a child of God. I'm the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm here to shine the light. I've got breath. I've got a voice. I've got gospel tracts. I've got a testimony. I've been saved by the grace of God. I've got something to do for Jesus. Amen. And that could be any given day. And that light, we need to walk in that light, because this is a temporary opportunity. Because you never know. I mean, if you're here today, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, take full advantage of that and walk in the light and walk with God, because tomorrow you could be backslidden. I mean, you could be here in the room right now, and you could be testifying. There was a time in your life you know you were more on fire for God than you are right now. I don't mean just religious habits. I mean, there's a time when, man, you love God, you read His Word, you praised Him, you sang, and you just look for opportunities to tell people about Jesus Christ and to tell people what He did for you. And now you think, man, it's just... Man, he started late. How long is he going to go? Do we, oh, Jesus again, you know? I've been there. I've been in services myself. Can I tell the truth while I'm preaching? Is that okay, everybody? I've been in services as a saved preacher. How long is this guy going to be up there? Going to a preacher's meeting or something? And is he done yet? And he's preaching the Bible. I'm not saying because sometimes, you know, sometimes church becomes a beauty contest. You know that? We only want to hear a certain style of preaching, a certain kind of preaching. And if a guy didn't preach the way we do it, or he didn't say the way we do it, or he's not loud enough, he's not dynamic enough, and we don't like the way his hair's parted, if he has hair, you know, his jacket's out of line, all this kind of stuff, my tie's crooked, you know, and all these type of things, and then we think, well, but game's on later, I should ate breakfast or came, I'm hungry, you know, all different types of things, and instead of just saying, you know what, Lord, just please speak to that man to tell me something about Jesus. Lord, please use that fallible vessel, that human being that you chose, and you could even say, Lord, I have no idea why you chose him. But please use that man, because Jesus came to save those which were lost. And you appointed the church. And so somehow use that man to work in my heart that I could be used like Jesus was used to save the world. You know, and that creates a pretty impossible vision. And an amazing vision. The opportunity is temporary. Number two, the opportunity must be embraced. In verse 36, it says, while ye have the light, believe in the light. Don't just acknowledge the existence of the light. Believe it. You know, I was thinking the other day, I found the Bible that I had to have. You know, preachers, you know, Bibles can be idols. You know that? They really can be idols. I was at a good pastor friend of mine, and the church I was preaching that weekend or something. I was there, and they have a bookstore and something they do for all preachers. They give them a credit, you know, in there. And I saw in there a kind of Bible I'd never had, that I'd always wanted one, but I just never bought one because I'd bought a certain kind and so they were paying for it, and I didn't need it. I mean, I've got at that point, I don't know, I probably that I mean, I had my main preaching Bible. I switched to this one because other one was falling apart. This one, I've got some other one, got my mother's Bible, got to read from. But you know, I took that one, and I thought, it's in a box in the utility room. I've read some verses out of it, but I thought, what a waste. I mean, I bought it because I love the Bible. But you know, it's better to believe the Bible. You know, it says here, while we have the light, don't just have it, believe it. You know, we've got the light right here, don't just have it, you know. You know, those of you been here sometime, you know, we use a King James Bible. I use it personally because I believe it's the Word of God. I'm not mad at anybody that believes differently, and I'm not upset with anybody that believes differently. If you have a different version of the Bible, I'm not going to curse you. I'm not going to mock you. I'm just going to teach from the King James. But you know what? I've heard a lot of people argue about the King James but don't believe the King James. They argue, they say the Bible, really just don't believe the Bible. You know, can I keep telling the truth while I'm preaching? I've been one of them. I've been one of those people that would have this and used to, in the past, look down on somebody else that carried a different version. And there were parts of this book that I knew was there. I knew it existed. But I didn't really believe it. So what are you talking about? Well, those little simple verses that are just, you know, these deep theological truths that so few people really understand. These things that only scholarly people can get, like love your enemies. And like, oh, bless them that curse you. That's deep theologically. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it takes a PhD to get that. You know, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And it's all when you go to the altar to give, and when you stand praying, it says forgive. And you notice if you read that verse, it don't list. There's no list in that verse, except for these offenses right here. You know, and. Now, I have the light. Yeah, I know it says forgive, but you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they treated me. You don't know how much they hurt me. He said, of course you do. You wrote it, and you're the one that made me. And you knew it from the beginning. So you can have the light. And can I say you could even love the light? But this opportunity must be embraced. You must believe. When the word believe in the context here means to entrust. You know, and it's a humbling thing to forgive somebody. You know that? Because you just kind of put yourself aside, you know. It's a humbling thing to bless somebody that's cursed you and pray for somebody that's despitefully used you. It's a humbling thing to esteem someone better than yourself, you know. It's funny, I find all these different practical ways to apply, because that's not just like if you got lunch money and somebody else doesn't have lunch money, you give them your lunch money. That's the context of the church, you know. If you're in church and you got a brother or sister not walking with God, and if it were you, you'd want somebody to have mercy on you and love you anyway. Am I right about it? Yeah, so esteem them better than you. So treat them as much as you'd want to be received, as much as you want to be prayed for, as much as you want to have mercy extended to you, then you even more so, you do that for them. You know, and that's how churches stay strong. That's how families make it. Because, you know, church really is meant to be about a family. You know, there's a song we sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Nobody else glad? I know I kind of messed up the ending there, but but this opportunity must be embraced. So while you have the light, you know, in understanding, believe the light. Don't just have a bunch of Bibles sitting around that don't do anything, you know. You know, you can argue with somebody about which one to use, but man, love God. Believe what he says in his word, amen. And so, anyway, now, in this opportunity to follow Christ, in verse 37, I want you to know this opportunity is deeper than Jesus' earthly power. This opportunity is deeper than Jesus' earthly power. Because he says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now, sometimes we think our inadequacies as we follow Christ just because we just had more of this, had more of that. But nobody showed more power than Jesus did. Nobody showed more compassion than Jesus did. Nobody gave more than Jesus did. And they still didn't believe him. So it's not the measure of your possessions. It's not the measure of your earthly power. It's just a measure of your opportunity, just taking advantage of your opportunity. Because, you know, you'll spend your life, if you're not careful, you'll spend your life saying, well, once I just get to this, I'll really be sold out for Jesus Christ. Once I really get to this place here, then God will have my life completely. I just got to get this out of the way first. No, what you have right now is more than enough to do everything that God wants you to do. Because the Bible says the steps of a good man order the Lord. One of the great things about the Word of God, it says when you're born again, the Bible says your righteousness, well, the way it actually says, he says the righteousness is of me. God referring to himself in that passage. So when you're born again, your righteousness is of him, not of you, because if you recall, all of our righteousness is our filthy rags. So the great thing about salvation is we have a righteousness that's given to us by the blood, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith we express in him. And so whatever we have in Christ today, if you're a child of God, then you're good, declared by his worth, not by your own worth. And he has a step because he sees you're good. And the steps of good men of order of the Lord. So every single child of God, you have a step right now of obedience that God wants you to take. And that is the most powerful step you can ever take. Because that is the only step you can take that will bring him glory. I can't wait till later and take the step that I think will be most treasured. Well, this, God knows me. He knows what I'm going through right now. That, you know, if I just wait later and I have more time, more freedom to do this, if I just later when I get myself established or whatever, when even I get more spiritual, then I really do what God wants me to do. Right now, because your opportunity, remember, your opportunity is temporary. And it must be embraced. It must be believed. And it's not a measure of what you can do, earthly speaking, that's going to make the difference. It's a measure of what you can do, obediently speaking. I think we read it, didn't we? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean on. And wasn't that in Proverbs 3? You read Proverbs 3? Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, not the preacher, not your denominational affiliation, but you acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In verse 42, now we see the opposition to follow Christ. The opposition to follow Christ. And in verse 42, a couple of verses here, it says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. To me, that's kind of an amazing thing that you would think a religious institution would have so much power of individual. I mean, could you really catch the magnitude of what's being said there? They believe that Jesus is God. They believe that he's the Son of God. They believe that he is the way of salvation. But because of the way the synagogue is at that time, they're not going to confess him. They're not going to share him. They're not going to share Jesus because it was more worth to them to keep a strong position in the synagogue than it was to simply confess the reality of who Jesus was. And you understand, that's the battle of our life. It's not, because remember, the context we're looking at is the purpose of Jesus Christ. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And so the reality, the magnitude of what I exist for is that I confess First International Baptist Church. No! That I confess Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the name that saves. And thank God for that. But it's amazing how heartbreaking it is that because of the Pharisees, they wouldn't. And last week we talked about he that made me whole. I see I got over that, by the way. But, and I think it was last. Was that last week? Anyway, it don't matter. It's still me today. So, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, because the Pharisees were after this man had been for 38 years had been lame, and Jesus told him, "Well, take up thy bed and walk." And here he was carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. And I said, "What are you doing? Why are you? You're not lawful to carry your bed on the Sabbath day." And he said, "Well, he that made me whole is the one that told me to take up my bed." So basically, you take it up with him. You couldn't make me whole. He made me whole. I'm doing what he said. You know, he that made me whole is the one that told me, don't be bitter. He that made me whole is the one that when I want to be selfish, he says, don't be selfish. He that made me whole is the one that when I really want to live the way of Reinhard Harper, he says, don't do that. Don't walk that way. Don't carry your bed. He that made me whole is the one that says, when I want to just sleep in and just do nothing, he said, don't do that. Do what I need you to do. And because he made me whole, I'll carry the bed. Amen. but here was in this, but they were in bondage because of fear of the Pharisees. And see, this is why it's so important to really know who saved you and have come to Christ, because then the synagogue doesn't matter. You're going to follow Jesus Christ. And guess what? If you're in the right church and the right synagogue, by just keeping the context here, then your church will embrace the confession of Jesus Christ. The confessing of that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And what a heartbreaking thing it is to love the praise of men more than the praise of God. You know, and that is probably the greatest opposition to following Christ. You know, the great challenge of my life that, you know, when, you know, you would think it would just be easy for a preacher that's been born again and saved, but, you know, there's times in my life that, you know, I like to have people like me. And, but you know what, that's not more than I want God to like me. Well, God loves me, by the way, but not more than God would praise me, you know, because the great thing about God, he's going to love me no matter what. He said that. But I can either live in such a way to where I can have men praise me for the way I'm doing things, or I can make a decision to live and confess Christ. Now, the confession of Christ, not just confessing who he is, but my life confesses who he is. And like I said before, you know, you have a great opportunity. Every single person, you have an opportunity for your life to show forth the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. I listened to a message, I think it was this morning, about the Apostle Paul. I went from Saul to Paul. And it's talking about, you know, you can read that statement, you know. He said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? You know, and now here's Paul. You have to keep in mind, here's a man of so much authority, so much power. He had threatening letters to go everywhere. And all of a sudden, for him to be in so much power, so much authority, and all of a sudden to stop and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know, it's because he had surrendered in that moment. And so the one that was Lord of his life now has a Lord of his own. He sees God as he really is, you know. And when that changes, it changes your whole motive of everything you do. And you begin to see, since God actually is the Lord, he's the master, his praise is worth more than anything I could receive from anybody. I was listening to a song today, and it was a Christian song, but I was noticing today how a lot of music is based on comparisons of against other people. And it was kind of a testimony song, trying to encourage you to do right, but in a time when it says others will not, I will. And I like this song, and I got to the point I thought about that. But that's kind of wrong, that comparison, because I'm not supposed to live my life in comparison to anybody else. It doesn't matter what anybody else is not doing. It matters me loving God and just doing what he wants me to do and walking with him. But, you know, we can get a false sense of security by doing what we're not supposed to do. Someone had a client over the house the other day, and I know him because Samuel played ball with him, and he was getting ready to leave. And I was getting ready to ask him, he's a young person, and what we always ask young people, you staying out of trouble? And so the Holy Spirit caught my tongue, and I said, hey, so you walking with God these days? And he said, yes, sir, as a matter of fact, I am. Or he said, yes, sir, I am. I don't think he said, matter of fact, but he said, yes, I am. And I said, no. And I told him, I said, I almost asked you, are you staying out of trouble? But you know, the majority of people just live their life trying to stay out of trouble. And I said, and they're dead as hammers. Because you can live your life just trying to stay out of trouble. You're not walking with God. That's what Pharisees do. I mean, if you looked at a Pharisee, man, Pharisees didn't drink, they didn't smoke, they probably didn't party. I mean, they probably didn't hang out. They probably had, well, they had on the perfect Pharisaical garb, whatever, clothing, but they were dead. You know, and I'm not saying we need to be worldly, but I'm saying we need to walk with God. We need to be in his presence. We need to know him, and we need to make sure that the things we do are for his praise and his worth, because then we don't have to defend it all day long. Then we just rest in it because we know who we're doing it for, and then it'll just be right to pray, confess who Jesus is. And you won't be bothered by that. It's a great thing to do. But last of all, we get to our verses where we started. And here we just really break down the purpose of Jesus Christ. In verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. You know, the purpose, number one, is that the world would believe the Father. You know, and this is rather significant, this verse 44. Because Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Now, he was referring to God the Father. And the world really wants to make it so he said, well, can't we just all believe in God? Get along. But Jesus is saying, no, there's a connection. There is a life-altering connection between believing on Jesus and believing on the Father. That's why Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. To believe on Jesus is the way to get to the Father, to get to God. There is only one God, and there's only one way to get to him. It's through the one mediator, which is Jesus Christ, his Son. And the purpose of Jesus Christ, now catch this now, even in the reality of who he was, his purpose really wasn't for people to recognize him. But this purpose was really, even though it was necessary to believe on him, that they might be born again, the whole purpose of them even seeing him was so that they could get to the Father. Now, as we bring that to you and I, every single person in this room has talents and gifts and abilities. And guess what? Some of you have big problems. You know why? So people can see Jesus. so they can see that the Father is accessible through your gifts, your talents, your treasures, and even your problems. Because in your problems, when you manifest the grace of God and show forth the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, you say, wow, I guess Jesus can help anybody. some of you think, well, why have I always had such big problems? Because God values you and believes you can deal with it in such a way that where you can be used in a great way that people see that Jesus is the Savior. So, man, just let your light shine and go forth and thank God for that opportunity, because we've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, like Jesus did. But so you exist today that the world would believe in the Father. You have to be seen because your light has to shine, but not for your own glory, but for an opportunity to show people that they need God, and that he can be had through Jesus Christ. In this purpose of Jesus Christ, his purpose also that the world would see the Father as he really is. Notice verse 45. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. So Jesus said, I'm here. So that you see me, and so you can really know that when you see me, Jesus said, you're seeing God, you're seeing the Father. And what a marvelous statement that is, because the world needs to see God the Father as he really is, and his Son. His Son is the Father, and the Father is the Son, because the two are one. And you know, if every person in the world can really see God as he really is, think of all so many things that would be so many problems. Think of, I mean, if you're here today and you've got an issue that you've been trying to handle, because if you really knew the Father, you would know you don't have to handle the issue. The Father will handle the issue. I mean, it's just like if you're a young child. I mean, there's so many things. If you had an earthly father, earthly parent, they take care of so many of your needs. You don't have any idea over it. I tell people often, when our children were little and we were broke as you know what. I mean, they had no idea we were broke. And they just know that there's a bed to sleep in every night. There's some type of food, whether it be good or bad or little or much. They just think that's the way life is, you know. You know, I remember my pastor's wife, Ms. Nora, we were talking about our parents one day. We weren't complaining about them, but we were just saying how there's so much bitterness today. The parents toward children toward their parents, and even parents toward the children, you know. And, you know, I had imperfect parents, but, you know, but, we just thought that's just the way life is. You know, we never used it as a leverage to think how terrible they were. We just said, well, that's just who I grew up with, you know. And I love them to this day. Well, my dad's still alive, but. But the reality is that the world really needs to see the Father as he really is. And I ask myself this question: What does the world think of God through me? I had this thought cross my mind. I was trying to witness to somebody one time, and they were talking to me about. They were saying they were saved, and I'm looking at this person's lifestyle and everything, and I'm not talking about what you may think is, depending on what you may be thinking as far as, I'm talking about a chaotic life. And I'm just going to tell you a thought crossed my mind and said, what salvation is, I'd rather just be lost, you know. But that's not what I was saying, that's not the word I was thinking, but I'm just telling you. And I thought, you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? Who thinks that about you? I wonder who's looking at your life, Reiner Harper, and says that if your life is what salvation is, I just soon stay lost. And because my life is meant not to, this is why my purpose is so important. Because my purpose is not to show that I'm a great individual, that I'm a good preacher, that I'm a good whatever, that I'm a good servant. My purpose is so that through me, the world will see who the Father really is. They can see who God really is. So I really don't matter. It's amazing. In everything that Jesus was, he was so outstandingly humble. You know, I mean, even when he would do miracles, well, don't tell anybody. You know, just keep And I mean, even, you know, the woman in the garment, you know, and came to the crowd, touching, you know, virtue and I just healed him, you know. Who touched me, you know? I mean, and then after when they were taking my fourth victory king, he just passed through the mist, you know. He could have said, yeah, I'm the one. He did say, I'm the Father one, but the way he manifested himself was to make it clear that as we walk in his purpose, even when God manifests great power through us, which he wants to, by the way, because you think about it, what are you talking about? Well, just the fruits of the Spirit. I mean, think of how powerful your life would be. Let's just make it real simple. Fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. Top three in the world. Think of how powerful your life would be right now if you really, truly believe you were loved. If you really, truly believe you were loved and accepted that love of God. And think of how powerful, and I catch this now, think of how powerful your life would be right now if you really, listen to me now, if you really could love. Because the people in this room that know you're loved, but some of you have difficulty with loving. And think of how powerful your life would be if you just had real joy. Not based on your social status, not based on what clothes you have this particular moment in time, but you just had joy. Think of how powerful your life would be if you just had peace. In this world of unrest and everything crazy going on, you walk somewhere and just the peace of God just go with you. And that comes from God the Father. And if just that were manifested in every child of God today, people walk and say, man, I'm going to thank God, but I sure like to have it. And it's not just when there's money in the bank, when there's no money in the bank. Not when there's good health or when there's no good health. Not when things are good at home, but when things are terrible at home. Not when you got lots of friends, but when you have lots of enemies. Not when you're being praised, but when you're being hated. Not when you're understood, but when you're misunderstood. And even when you're all alone. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. And guess what? If you follow the purpose of Christ, every single person, you're going to have some lonely moments. Because think, if you catch, okay, Jesus said, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. If you catch what's going on here, you'll walk, wherever you go today, you'll see the world differently. That person, that professional panhandler that you see all the time and you generally cross the street so you don't have to figure out some excuse to say why not to give him money or give her money. You'll say, man, Jesus came to save that person. Instead of trying to figure out how you're going to lose what you got or how to keep what you got with a good conscience. Isn't the way panhandlers work on you? Sometimes you know you got money and you know you're going to go buy yourself a coffee or a tea and waste it on yourself, but you don't want to give them $2. So you don't want them to waste it, right? Man, we're here for Christmas. God loves us anyway. Thank God. We're going to go waste something and we're trying to figure out instead of saying, you know what? Somehow this money is worth me trying to tell this person about Jesus Christ. Somehow, Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, you came that person could be saved. Please, somehow, Father, work through me that I can be a vessel to get across to them their need of God the Father. Not that money they think they need to survive by every day, or some are just food. Some people really just want food. They're that hard up, you know. And so many other things too. I mean, I found that some people. I used to think this one guy. I think his name was Neil, and. Neil used to come out and ask for a token all the time. I thought, oh, poor guy, he wants a token. And one day when we had the church on Queen Street, the storefront, I'd give him a token. He walked straight to the store next door, traded it in for a toonie. I think he traded it in for a cigarette. And he realized all these different angles people have, you know. And finally he called me one day. Neil had got off and he was in, where was he at, sweetheart? Do you remember? And Hamilton, you got to Hamilton, and Neil lived in a group home or something. I can't remember why they called me. Maybe he had a gospel track on him or something. He panhandled his way to Hamilton, and they had to get him back to his group home somehow, you know. I saw all these bizarre things, and I shared Christ with Neil on different occasions. He'd come in, hang out in church. Sometimes just longing to see if anybody's going to give him anything. And like Dollar Dan, can I have a dollar? Can I have a dollar every time I see him? I call him Dollar Dan. I walked in one day before he get out. Hey, I said, Dan, can I have a dollar? He said, I don't have one. What I'm saying, these people, they need the Father. And you realize Jesus came to save those people. And these things that we can easily think that are annoyances, and how dare they? Why don't they just get a job? Why don't they just get this? Why don't they just do that? If they had the Father, they just might. And some of them might never leave a group home, but if they had the Father, they might see a group home transformed by the witness of Jesus Christ. Next in this purpose, we're almost done here. And the purpose of Jesus Christ is to keep the world from abiding in darkness. Verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whoso believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You know, it's amazing when you realize how dark the world is. I'm not talking about satanic things, but the world really just abides in darkness. Most people live their lives in constant fear. People live in fear of their future. People live in fear of their following. People live in fear of just so many different things, you know. And we have different kind of ways we play it all. But you'd be amazed if people were dishonest in this room right now. There's people that are living in constant fear every single day. And that's why we have to project the image so much sometimes. We always try to project the image, protect people from getting close to trying to figure out who we really are. You know, I remember one of my classmates one time, and found me on the internet or something, and emailed me and said, she'd seen one of my pictures online or something. She said, you still have that same Reinhard Harper smile. And I said, yeah, that smile used to hide thoughts of suicide. That smile used to hide depression. That smile used to hide discouragement. And I said, but that smile now shines for Jesus. But you know, you can do a lot of things in the flesh to make people think you're all right. You know, when I was lost, I'd go to parties and I'd act so crazy because I was scared of drugs. And sometimes when I went to a party, people didn't offer me drugs because they thought I already was on something because I was so crazy. But I was that terrified, and I didn't want to be not in, you know, so I had to be this radical idiot. So I could be part of the crowd, you know. And I think about that. And everywhere, I'm the man, Ryan Harper's in the house. And I'm here. They're chanting. I'm coming. Hey, Harper's in the house. And I'm in there. And I'm doing all this. Hey, you know. and I'm walking in total fear. Isn't that amazing? But I got to call. Everybody thinks I'm the man. I got it all covered up. And it's just... But Jesus. I go in a place and it's like, oh, Ryan Harper's in the house. Oh, he's here. I was somewhere recently and I can't really say much details, but how can I say this? But a guy was there, he was officiating this thing I was in, and a person, I've been in their home, they've been in my home, and it's not in Toronto, by the way, there's nobody connected to here. The person couldn't even look me in the eye, and the person would, on any other, so many other came, would have been glad to acknowledge I was there, but you know, I made a decision to confess Jesus Christ. And I made a decision to believe that Jesus Christ could help absolutely anybody. And I made a decision that I'm not going to be on anybody's side except with the side of Jesus Christ. And for that, some people began to hate me for it. You know, I thought, man, it's just so sad. But I just pray for the individual. I still love them. I hope they're back in my home again one day.
But that's darkness. I mean, sometimes the world, we get mad at what we think. Oh, I thought, oh, it's only 3 o'clock. I got a lot.
No, my watch here tells me, really, I pulled it down. But, a lot of people, sometimes we don't like arrogant people. We don't like proud people. But those are some of the most fearful people. We need, and they're walking in darkness, because who the strength of their life is? Their identity, because it's all about me. And somehow we get so bitter and we get mad at those kind of people, but we should say, Lord, use us to take them out of the darkness. But keep in mind, we have to have, if we got the purpose right, this is not from a position of superiority. You understand what I'm saying? Because Jesus did not come to judge the world. He didn't condemn the world. This is from a position of saying that, Christ is everything. And we can't help but recognize when anybody is not immersed in life itself, which is Jesus Christ, even if it be me in the mirror. And there should be anything other than light, which is Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the light of the world. Anything other than light is what? Darkness. So if my life revolves around something that's not light, my life is revolving around. And so there should be a compassion, this Lord, and the purpose. Lord, help me to be used like Jesus Christ to help that person get out of darkness. But why? Because if you're saved, because the light is so good. some people say they like the night, but most people really don't like darkness. Because unless you just like sleeping all the time. but the thing about the night, even people like the night. You know why you like the night? Because of how the light works in the darkness. Maybe you like the stars, the moon. Maybe you like the city and the lights. Because it's the backdrop of the light working in the darkness that makes even the night look hopeful. But can you imagine? If people like to say they love the night, go out and it's in total darkness, man, where could you go? You go bump into something. And that's the world. They're bumping into everything, But last of all, and this is very easy, because we said it 1,000 different ways already, in the purpose of Jesus Christ, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. I am in 1303 Queen Street, this moment, this hour, I'm here to save the world. I can't do it personally, but I'm here for Jesus to work through me, to use me, to fulfill his purpose, that he might save the world, that they might know him. You know why you're here right now? Because God wants to use you to save the world. The reason you didn't go to your home or apartment, wherever you live, well, your home, give me your apartment, whether it be a house, whether it be a room, whether it be a car you sleep in, if you're a born-again child of God, God wants to use you to save the world. But he has to save you first before you can really take that vision and that purpose. And it just, there's so many things that Jesus has been accused for and said he's here for. But he came not to condemn the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world. You understand? The world. Not just a few people we agree with. Not just those that we kind of like, but the world. That person that's on your mind, yeah, that one too. even that one? Yes, even that one. The world. But you don't know how much they hurt me, what they did to me. The world. Because if anybody could condemn them, Jesus could. But he said that's not why he manifested his physical presence, to walk on the earth and to be glorified by death on the cross. He came to save. He said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're here today and you're not born again, God wants to save you. He wants to introduce you personally to himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so you could know what a perfect father really is like. Because there's none on the earth, by the way. One that
knows your deepest need. One that knows your need even before you ask. One that would even meet your need even before you ask him. You know, anybody wake up today and say, God, could you make sure I breathe all day long? I mean, think about something. I mean, I'm a pretty real person. There's a pretty good chance that some people in this room walked in sin this week, and God was merciful and kept you alive so you could get out of that sin. That's what a loving father does. I mean, he didn't just love when you're doing everything that he wants you to do. He loves you because he's the father, because you're his child. Amen. And God is so loving that he's even loving those he's looking to adopt. Amen. he's keeping people alive and giving them breath, giving them grace and opportunity. I always remember years ago, I was witnessing the Satanist, and he was bragging about people, because I worked with some prisoners, and he was bragging about people he had killed and never got caught for, and people he'd murdered and never got charges for, and he said, preacher, no, I think he called me Rev. He said, Rev, Satan has been so good to me. And I said, Griff, I said, God has been good to you. He kept you alive all this time. That of all things, he sent a preacher, a gospel witness, to work in a turkey plant to tell you about Jesus so you can know the mercy of God so you might be born again. That's God's grace. And I thank God, you know, because, I mean, I look back to my life and I don't know what came into me. I was only Jesus Christ. If my wife knew half the things that work on her, she was like, she'd really been afraid of my life. But old Griff, I tell you, unfortunately, I don't know that he ever got saved, but I know the grace of God was shown to him. And I know that God kept him alive so he could hear the grace of God. Anything with all different things. And here's how God worked. I moved to that town to go to Bible college. I never graduated from. I left because of convictions. I left a good paying job to go to a nothing job. And to where the best job in town at that time would be a job working in a turkey plant, cutting up turkeys. And God put me there to show the sufficiency of Jesus Christ and to be a vibrant witness and to tell people about Jesus Christ. And because Jesus came to save the world, I look back on every job that I've ever had, and God put me with people to share Jesus Christ with. Because my purpose is his purpose. And it's not just me. But it's you. Because if any man serve me, let him follow me. Anybody glad you're saved?
Amen.
So that didn't come by accident. God used somebody in his purpose to save you as part of the world. Why not be using that? Why not yield your life to God today that you could be used in that same way? I'm not saying you even know what to do next. But if you yield to him, I guarantee he'll show you the next step. He'll give you a heart. He'll tell you something. You know, I mean, you've heard Yoda's testimony. She told him, Lord, just give me the words to say. You know, a lot of times it's like that. You know, I'm going to, you know, and there's certain people sometimes you think, that person don't want to hear nothing I got to say. He said, Lord, open the door. Maybe it may some people listen to you if you just ask them. You know, and if you leave your house, if you're born again, say, Lord, give me somebody to talk to about Jesus today. If you're not born again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today and God will save you. He'll make you one of his own children. He'll give you eternal home in heaven. And most importantly, he'll give you himself. And you'll get to know him personally. Because this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Eternal life, like I said in the beginning, is not just being rescued from a fiery pit called hell. It's about actually coming to know the God that made everything, and the God that made you personally. And that's the only person you'll ever find your real purpose in life from. Because if not, if you're fine, you know what you find out? Like, I'm 48. Is that right? Yeah, you're going to be 49 in May. You know what you find without that? Your life purpose will change all the time. Because if you're not finding your purpose from the one that made you, your focus and your vision, your purpose will change all the time. I'm not talking about it in a good way. I'm not saying you walk in sin, because you may just be like, yeah, you're staying out of trouble. But you always have a new this, a new this, a new this, a new that, instead of just saying, You know, Jesus was pretty, anybody believe Jesus was pretty focused while he was here? We just said why, I don't have to preach a message again. He said why he was here, right? To save the world, right? And if you serve him, you'll follow his purpose. So think about how much easier it would be if you were to look at everything you're in your life right now and say, Lord, show me how this is for your purpose, that the world through me might be saved. Man, this is what a wonderful opportunity that is. You know, we praise earthly heroes when somebody lays down their life, physically speaking. But you know what? And the Father wants to praise you and I for basically living like Jesus lived. Laying down your life, allowing your life to be lived here, that the world might be saved. Because for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. And you know what? You can say, God sent not Carl into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. God sent not Raquel into the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent not Jillian. People in the front row get picked on, just so you know. God sent not Jillian into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through her might be saved. God sent not Pastor Harper to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And put your voice in here. But isn't it amazing? Again, the Pharisees. Isn't it amazing how much strength we can find in condemnation, condemning others? When the real strength is found in laying our life down for other people, that they might be saved. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time with these precious, precious people. Lord, I already confessed, Lord, there's no way this could do what you want it to do in our own strength. I've tried so hard just to say what you want me to say and to keep the thoughts and keep them with your word. But Lord, in any situation in this message where emotion overrided Holy Spirit control, and Lord, would you go beyond my frailties? Would you go beyond human distraction? Would you go beyond just even pride and arrogancy so that you could manifest your glory through every single creation in this room? There's some in this room that unfortunately may not even want to be used for that purpose. But would you touch their heart, Father, and realize that you're still reaching out to them in great love and compassion and wanting them to be used by your marvelous grace that the world through them might be saved. And there's some that are just afraid. They use different things to make themselves feel okay and to make others feel okay about them. And so that they can feel secure in a purpose other than your purpose. Lord, would you have mercy upon them and show your great outreach to them? That very person is the one you're probably going to use the most. Would you have mercy upon them and touch their life and use them that they might be saved? They might be used for other people's salvation. For anyone here today, Lord, that does not know you personally, oh, my Father, could you help them see that through your desire for every single one of your children to be used that the world might be saved, how ferociously and vibrantly you love them in their lost condition, that you would give the life of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might truly be saved? Would you touch some dear lost person's heart today to where they would say, I choose Jesus. And Father, for those of us that have been born again, forgive us for the times when we get cold and indifferent and see impossible circumstances instead of Christian opportunities. Keep us focused on loving this world like you did. And give us strength of purpose to really, truly believe that it's worth it to give our life that men, women, boys, and girls could be saved. And my precious Father, our Father, I ask these things in the name of the Lord. Take a moment to pray and